in the limelight.
Advocates for workers say measures the Persian Gulf's Arab governments have announced to shore up their economies and slow the coronavirus's spread do not do enough to protect laborers. King Salman of Saudi Arabia announced last month that he would cover the treatment of anyone suffering from COVID-19 in the kingdom, including foreigners. But a $2.4 billion aid package that will partially cover the salaries of private sector workers applies only to Saudi citizens. The UAE passed a new regulation empowering companies to grant paid and unpaid leave and cut wages temporarily or permanently for non-citizen employees. While such changes are to be done by mutual agreement, labor advocates say workers have little real leverage against their employers. Stay with us for an article concerning this issue authored by Ben Hobart entitled Coronavirus Fears Terrify and Impoverish Migrants in West Asia. The article has appeared on the front page of the New York Times website. Some Arab countries in West Asia has locked down tens of thousands of migrant workers in the crowded neighborhoods, raising fears they will become a coronavirus hotbed. Companies in Saudi Arabia have told foreign laborers to stay at home, then stopped paying them. In Kuwait, an actress said on TV that migrants should be thrown out into the desert. The oil-rich monarchies of the Persian Gulf have long relied on armies of low-paid migrant workers from Asia, Africa, and elsewhere to do the heavy lifting in their economies and have faced long-standing criticism from rights groups for treating those laborers poorly. Now the coronavirus pandemic has made matters worse, as migrants in Persian Gulf Arab states have found themselves locked down in cramped, unsanitary dorms, deprived of income and unable to return home because of travel restrictions. Some are running out of food and money and fear they have no place to turn in societies that often treat them like an expendable underclass. Mohammed Al-Saidi, an Egyptian restaurant worker, stocked with seven friends in a one-room apartment in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, after they lost their jobs, said, "Nobody called us. Nobody checked on us at all. I'm not afraid of corona. I'm afraid we will die from hunger." Lockdowns and the resulting economic downturns have dealt harsh blows to migrant communities across the globe, including in Southeast Asia and inside India. But the sheer numbers and diversity of migrants in several Persian Gulf Arab countries mean that damage to their health and finances will echo across continents. It is hard to overstate the role of migrant labor in some Arab countries in the Persian Gulf, where jobs in construction, sanitation, transportation, hospitality, and even healthcare are dominated by millions of workers from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Nepal, the Philippines, and elsewhere. They often work and live in substandard conditions to earn more than they could at home. According to the Central Intelligence Agency's World Factbook, more than one-third of Saudi Arabia's 34 million people are foreigners, as are about half of the population of Bahrain. In Kuwait, foreigners outnumber citizens by more than 2-1. In the UAE, that ratio is nearly 9-1. As the virus has spread, several Arab countries in Persian Gulf have imposed lockdowns and other restrictions aimed at limiting contagion that have dramatically slowed their economies. Many of these losses have trickled down to the laborers. Some earn as little as $200 per month, and many amassed substantial debts to recruiters and middlemen before they have even begun working. Lost income will not only affect the workers, but also their home countries, which receive billions of dollars in remittances every year. Also, there are indications that the virus has hit migrants particularly hard. Saudi Arabia's health ministry said on April 5th that more than half of its cases of COVID-19, the disease the virus causes, were foreigners. Advocates for workers say measures the Persian Gulf Arab governments have announced to shore up their economies and slow the virus's spread do not do enough to protect laborers. King Salman of Saudi Arabia announced last month that he would cover the treatment of anyone suffering from COVID-19 in the kingdom, including foreigners. But a $2.4 billion aid package that will partially cover the salaries of private sector workers applies only to Saudi citizens. The UAE passed a new regulation empowering good companies to grant paid and unpaid leave and cut wages temporarily or permanently for non-citizen employees. While such changes are to be done by mutual agreement, labor advocates say workers have little real leverage against their employees. Vani Sarawati, associate editor of migrantrights.org, an advocacy group, said, "There seems to be a discontent in these countries about how much they need these workers," adding, "Their societies would literally fall apart if these workers were not there, but there is very little empathy for their situation." Although these Arab states have issued strict stay-at-home orders and closed businesses deemed non-essential, some migrant-heavy sectors like construction and oil and gas have kept working, potentially exposing workers to the virus. Many laborers also live in camps where as many as 10 men share rooms, a fertile environment for contagion. Hiba Zayadeen, a Persian Gulf researcher for Human Rights Watch, said, "If it spreads in the camps, it is wildfire, so all of these countries should have an interest in keeping this under control." UAE has earmarked more than $800 million to help companies pay their employees and issued regulations shortening the workday to try to stem the virus's spread. But workers say the policies are not always applied on the ground. A Kenyan oil worker in one of these countries said he used to ride to work on a crowded bus with 60 other people. But the employees complained and the company reduced capacity to 30 men per bus. He still shares a room in a company compound with three others in a ward with only six bathrooms for 450 men. Speaking on condition of anonymity for fear of punishment by his employer, he said by phone, "Crowding is a problem, and washing hands is almost unrealistic." His company provides food, but in a communal dining hall that is often crowded. He said, "It is not in any way social distancing," adding, "It is only God who is protecting people." Some Persian Gulf's Arab countries have banned unionization and other activism aimed at improving workers' conditions, leaving laborers with few places to turn if their employers violate their contracts or fail to pay them. Last month, Tazaki de la Cruz, a Filipino restaurant worker in Saudi Arabia, was told with 16 of his colleagues to stop working and that no work meant to pay. The men were not paid their final salary, and food allowances their employer promised have not arrived. De La Cruz said, "We are left to help and rely on each other," adding, "Whoever has extra money among us would have to support the others." Advocates say the most vulnerable workers are those without contracts who freelance on the local market. Women who work as in-house maids often have nowhere to turn if their employers abuse them, and day laborers have no company responsible for their well-being. Lockdowns mean they don't go out to look for work, or sometimes even to buy food. Islamuddin Iqbal, a Pakistani day laborer in one of these Arab countries who has been stuck in a room with four other men for more than a month, said, "We can't go out because the police are very strict. The men used to venture out to buy bread, but the bakery closed, so they're left with only the rice in their room." Iqbal said by phone, "Our supplies are running out fast," adding, "We have started to eat less to save what we are left with." Meanwhile, the Chief Minister of India's Kerala state has voiced alarm at the risks facing migrant workers from the region in the United Arab Emirates amid the coronavirus pandemic, citing reports of inadequate quarantine facilities and ineffective preventive measures in the Persian Gulf. According to Al Jazeera, citing the United Nations in a letter sent to Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi on April 9, Pinari Vijayan revealed that numerous complaints were being received over inadequate isolation and quarantine facilities in the UAE, which is currently hosting nearly 3 million migrant workers from India. Vijayan said in the letter seen by Al Jazeera, most of these requests convey that preventive measures and quarantine methods implemented in Dubai are neither effective nor adequate. The Indian minister said that the majority of Keralites, nearly 1 million in the UAE, are blue-collar workers and living in crowded facilities in Dubai, and therefore the probability of spreading the disease is very high. He called on the Prime Minister to take up the issue with the Emirati officials to ensure adequate food, medicines, quarantine and emergency service facilities to India diaspora in Dubai. Last week, the UK-based Business and Human Rights Resource Centre issued a report heavily critical of construction companies in the UAE for failing to protect migrant workers against the coronavirus pandemic. BHRRC said, "We are deeply concerned that many global construction companies are not acting decisively to protect their migrant workforce in several Arab countries in the Persian Gulf from both the disease and economic hardship if they become infected." Moreover, the United Nations says Saudi Arabia's recent deportation of thousands of Ethiopian migrants will risk the spread of the new coronavirus, urging Riyadh to suspend the practice for the time being. The UN's International Organization for Migration, IOM, said recently that Saudi Arabia has so far deported 2,870 Ethiopian migrants to Addis Ababa since the start of a coronavirus pandemic. An aid worker familiar with the deportations, who spoke on condition of anonymity, said about 3,000 Ethiopian migrants have arrived from Saudi Arabia in the past 10 days. Catherine Sozi, the UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Ethiopia, said, "The expulsion and deportation of Ethiopian irregular migrants while their country's COVID-19 response is underprepared puts them in harm's way." Sozi added, "Large-scale migratory movements, which are not planned, make the transmission of the virus much more likely to continue. We are therefore calling for the temporary suspension of large-scale deportations." The deportations come as the health condition of the returnees is a concern for Ethiopian government, as it is unclear how thoroughly Saudi authorities are screening them for coronavirus before their departure from the kingdom. Sozi further said the Ethiopian government has requested that such deportations be stopped until it could set up 30 quarantine centers in the capital Addis Ababa. However, she said Riyas has continued the deportations despite the fact that only 7 quarantine centers can host returnees and Ethiopia is straining to accommodate the migrants. The Saudi MEA ministry did not immediately respond to a request for comment. A humanitarian aid organization, which asked to remain anonymous, said it fears that the frequency of the flights and the large number of deportees involved could overwhelm Ethiopia's quarantine system. The aid group said the quarantine measures currently in place need to be improved and the current medical staff needs to be increased and better prepared and equipped to assist all newly arrived migrants, adding, "These migrants are very vulnerable. They have undertaken an extremely dangerous journey and many arrive in Ethiopia with high medical and mental health needs."